Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We say with the psalmist this Advent midweek, the Advent psalm, restore us, O God. Let your face shine on us that we may be saved. Now, this afternoon, we consider the visit of Mary to her cousin relative Elizabeth. We have two moms, one old, one young. One is 6 months along in her pregnancy, and one is newly pregnant. In many ways, it's a practical visit when you think about it. Mary had been given the sign that barren Elizabeth had conceived a son in her old age. And so what does she do? She eagerly goes to see the fulfillment of that sign. She also, however, goes in love to help and serve her elderly relative. In turn, she will learn and she will benefit from the elder Elizabeth's wisdom and faithfulness. These two women, at very different stages in life, are yet bound together in faith and in love by the sons growing in their wombs, by a love that bubbles with mutual joy and affection. Consider what it might have been like for that dear old Elizabeth in the final months of her pregnancy. Heavy with the weight of a child growing inside of her, weary from the work of all of it, her frail mortal flesh stretched and strained by the burden under the curse of sin and death, her bones no longer so resilient as they were in her younger years. The scriptures are quite silent when it comes to the life of Elizabeth after the birth and circumcision of her son, John. It's not a stretch to suppose that maybe she lived only a few more years to nurse that baby and then die. It wouldn't be out of the ordinary that her labor and her delivery might have broken her health and led to her decline and, yes, perhaps her death. But her child John the Baptist, he would become strong and live in the desert until his public appearance in the wilderness, some 30 years later, dressed in camel's hair and eating locusts and wild honey and proclaiming the coming one, the Lamb of God, who shall take away the sins of the world. But there is no indication in Holy Scripture that Elizabeth ever saw the Christ child following his holy birth. What she did see and what she did receive, however, was a welcome visit from her young relative Mary from Nazareth, the dear mother of our Lord, who came and spent the final 3 months with Elizabeth in her pregnancy. Her visit, no doubt, was of great source of comfort and help to Elizabeth, but also to Mary. For Mary, too, there was a blessing when you think about it, a benefit of being with, learning and being with the elder Elizabeth. For also, we know really nothing concerning Mary's parents, Mary's father and mother, but it may have been that she was orphaned by this time, and that she had no parents. We know that likely she was in her teen years, old enough to be engaged by the standards of her current culture, and her body was able to physically conceive a baby. But now she was pregnant, before her wedding, before the consummation of her marriage. So this wonderful word of God that had come to her by the angel Gabriel, that she received in faith, was now also throwing everything up into the air for Mary, putting everything into confusion and jeopardy and danger. The son within her womb, yes, had been conceived by the Word and Spirit of God in a miraculous way. And yes, Mary had remained chaste, a pure virgin, faithful and righteous by God's grace. But who was going to believe that? What was Joseph going to think or say or do? And what was she going to do? What she did was that she followed the Lord's word in that let it be of faith and in the love that she had for Elizabeth. Faith and love were born in the word of God, and one was not without the other. This was her vocation that was set before her. As she believed, it was done for her. One small step at a time. And when Elizabeth was greeted, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary by the Holy Spirit, she exclaimed, she says these wonderful words, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Why does she say this? She says this because Elizabeth knows that the little unborn child in Mary's womb is going to save her from her sins, going to save the world from its sins. She, along with her husband Zechariah, believed Mary's story. They strengthened and sustained Mary's faith in the days that would follow, even as their own faith was strengthened and sustained by Mary's confession and witness. This is absolutely beautiful and very instructive for us in our Christian faith and life. For we should learn to seek out our brothers and our sisters in Christ, not only our close relatives, but also the fellow members of the family of God, of Pilgrim, to love them in faith and to be loved by them in faith. We ought to resist the temptation to withdraw into these ever-narrowing circles and personal isolation. Faith and love, the body and the soul, are strengthened through this fraternal fellowship, through this mutual consolation of the body of Christ, of those who share a common faith, one baptism, one Lord, and one Father of us all. We need this fellowship. For songs of rejoicing cannot always be our song while here below, as the hymnist has it. To be faithful, you see, by God's grace, does not mean that you will never be lonely, or that you will never be afraid, or that you will never be confused, or that you will never doubt, that you will never be worried, or that you will never be anxious. Even Mary and Elizabeth, as you can well imagine, bore the burdens of their mortal flesh, the frailty and the weakness of their sinful hearts and minds, along with the bodily burden of being of those baby boys growing inside of them. The psalmist's plea is their plea, as it is ours today. Restore us, O God, let your face shine on us, that we may be saved. So don't think that you and I just simply will stride forward in confident faith and never falter. Rather, our restoration comes precisely from hearing the word of God. Just like Elizabeth and Mary, you and I live and walk by faith, one simple step at a time, by the ear that hears the word of God, not the eye that struggles to see and to understand why things are happening. And in the end, beloved of Christ, we are not to be afraid. For God shall exalt us at the proper time. He visits us even now in this place, as you have found favor in his sight, just as Mary and Elizabeth did. For in all times and in all places, No matter the difficulty, no matter the hardship, He will help you with His grace and His favor. He will feed you with His gifts. He will give you His body and His blood to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of all your sins. And so because of this, you can be of good cheer. You can let no sorrow move you, for God visits you in His mercy. His face shines upon you in the fruit of Mary's womb, and you and I are saved. God be praised. Amen.